asked Scott to sing something. I said, just sing something good, because I'm going to preach something good. Amen? And then it's funny, because I was mowing my yard for the last time this year, I hope. It really probably didn't need to be mowed, but it had a lot of weird spots in it, and it looked weird. My neighbors drive by and look at my house, and we already look weird. So went ahead and mowed it. But while I was out there listening, there was one song that stuck out, and I'm not very good at lyrics, but one lyric stuck out. It said, "While I was chasing everything else, you were chasing me." And when he sung that just then, I said, man. And there's going to be a lot to that in this message. I don't have a title for this. Matthew chapter 14. I cannot believe that it's been this long since I've ever seen what I see in this message. I cannot believe it. I've read this, I don't know how many times. I wouldn't even give it a number. But I don't know, about 2 days ago, yesterday, early, it hit me, and I was all excited, and I hate when I do that, because then I'm like, y'all get ready. And then I'm fired up on Tuesday, and then Wednesday I'm like, should have preached it on Tuesday. Because you know the devil's got to come along and, you know, do all his stuff, and then your own flesh and everything else. But I'm excited. I cannot believe it. I love characters. I love characters in the Bible. They stand out. Man, this thing jumps off the page. Are y'all ready? Are you excited? What I'm doing is I was killing time for y'all to find Matthew chapter 14. If you can't find it by this much time, repent. Amen. Repent. Or go to the table of contents. Ugh, the dreadful contents. Matthew 14:1. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus and said unto his servant, this is John the Baptist, he is risen from the dead, and there was therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him into the prison for Herodias' sake, for his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, it is not lawful for thee to have her. Let's stop right there. As one character just jumps off the page at you, right? Right? Just jumps off the page. It's John the Baptist. John the Baptist is... he's the man of God. He's the forerunner of Christ. He comes on the scene like a rocket ship, like a bottle rocket. Y'all like, I love bottle rockets. You know, we used to have bottle rocket wars growing up in Polk County, Tennessee. It was an old bridge that was shut down, and they had big mounds of dirt on each side of the bridge. So some of us would get on this side of the bridge, and they would get on this side of the bridge. Don't do that. That's bad advice, bad idea. But I grew up in a different era when everything was all right. Riding in the back of a truck was all right. Riding on the tailgate was all right. Shooting bottle rockets at each other was all right. As long as nobody got shot in the eye, right? But anyway, you know, pow! It's done, right? Pow! Done. That's John the Baptist. He comes on the scene. He rockets up. And Jesus says something about him which is amazing. He says, this man, there's none greater born of a woman, but he's least of all that are in heaven. Man, he gives him a good title. He goes, there's no prophet greater than this man. But John the Baptist goes off the scene in a way that's not very exciting. It's not very exciting. John the Baptist doesn't get a ticker tape parade. He doesn't get a monument, a bust. He don't get put in the Hall of Fame. Matter of fact, he gets in prison and rides out his days. Wondering, my gosh, wondering if his work was good enough. Wondering if he'd done it right. At the end of our lives, we'll all wonder, did we do it right? How do you know that? Because he sent for Jesus. He said, is this the Christ? He baptized him. He baptized him. Heard the voice of God from heaven. Says, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. And he got so low one night, he said, will you please go ask him again if he is the one, or do we need to look for another one? So don't be so discouraged when you hit the valleys of Christianity and you're wondering if you're doing it right or not. Aren't you glad that stuff's in the Word of God? Man, when I'm reading the Bible, sometimes I think, thank you, God, for not leaving that out. Because if you said this guy's your greatest prophet, and he is none greater, and all this, and he wonders sometimes, even though he heard the audible voice of God, seen a dove, like the Spirit, like a dove, descend down and rest upon Jesus. Oh, this is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. Dad, God, you'll have some days where you're triumphant, and everybody looks at you and says, man, I'd like to be that girl, or I'd like to be that guy. Baptizes Jesus. Even though he didn't want to. God, can I preach right there? Ain't that exciting? Has Jesus ever asked you to do something that you didn't think you were qualified for? Every one of us should say everything. Everything he's ever asked me to do, I always say, God, I'm not worthy. God, I wish y'all could get a hold. Can y'all get a hold of this? Jesus walks down into the Jordan River. John says he's baptizing people, and all of a sudden Jesus walks into the water. Wait, I have need of you baptizing me. You don't need mine. I need you. He goes, let it be. Amen. He got to do something. And on that day, I guarantee you, everybody would like to say, I baptized just like John in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen? But nobody wants to be John locked in the prison. Is this the Christ? Or do we look for another? Amen? And then one day, he gets put in prison. You know why he got put in prison? I want to preach this because I want this to get in your head. I want it to seep down. And you know what? Some of y'all that teach youth and young people, maybe it would be good if you teach this in Sunday school sometime. Or class. Okay? I'm not going to make you do it, but I would really think it's important. Because guess what? He had to do something that shouldn't have took him. I heard a preacher one time, and I totally disagreed with him. He preached. He said, John should have never got involved with Herod. That's why he got took off the scene. Wrong answer. As a Christian, sometime you're going to have to confront sin. You're going to have to. Now, how you're going to confront it's up to you. If you want to be jellyfish and your backbone's going to be quivering, that's one way. Or you can stand up. And guess what? He had an opportunity when the king and his wife were standing in front of him. And he said, hey, listen, Jack, that's your brother's wife. And that is not lawful. Don't do that. Shouldn't have done that. That's what he just flat out told him. You shouldn't have done that. Now, I guarantee you, Herod loved John. He said, how do you know? Because he's probably one of the few people in his life that ever told him the truth. Can I dig in that just a little bit more and say, how do you know, Kevin? How do you know? Because I love the Word of God because it tells you so, right? Go back to Matthew chapter 14, verse 2. Listen to what he said. Now, this is after, John's already done, right? But look what he's doing right here. Y'all ready? Check this out. And said unto his servants, this is who? Was it? Why? He's still wrestling with John the Baptist, is he not? He has risen from the dead. He is wrestling. He is wrestling with, you know what? Herod's been wrestling with God like every man, woman, and child in this audience will do. Amen? We try to act like some people don't have a wrestling match with God going on in their life. Every person does. We think that everybody comes to Jesus. He deals with you throughout your life, and you have to deal with Him, and you either have to continue sinning and reject God or accept Him and live His way. There's no two ways about it, but there is a wrestling match nonetheless. I can tell you this, being honest with you. I wrestled with Him for 30 years. I know for a fact. And I wrestled with him. That the best I can understand is starting around 8 years old. And we had some epic knockdown, drag-out matches. Amen? And he would send different actors and different people into my life to tell me absolute truths. And guess what? Then I would have to wrestle with him when they left. Wrestle with him again and again and again. See, John the Baptist was the catalyst in Herod's life to make him try to deal with God, and he couldn't handle dealing with God. Are y'all ready to switch to Herod? Herod is another character who's rich right here. His sin is cyclic. cyclical. Thank you, Ray. It's cyclical. It keeps going in a circle. It's continuous. It's over and over and over. Amen? I practiced that word for 2 days and got it wrong. It would have been all right if it hadn't been for Ray. No, but I want you to hear it. What was his problem? He said he looked at something. He was shopping when I was mowing today. I'm getting into the mood for this message again. I was sitting there thinking, the place you don't want to look for a wife is at your brother's house. Amen? The place you don't want to look for a wife is at the family reunion. It's not the place for it. The place is not there, but apparently, he kept looking. He shouldn't have looked. He looked at something, and he desired something, and he wanted something so bad that he was willing to take it, and that was his sin. Herod's sin was he wanted something that was wrong. And he kept looking at it until he had it. You know that's the same with every sin, but that was his. Every time he went over there, I guarantee you, he looked at her, and he was just looking at her and looking at her. And I bet he came up with all kinds of different reasons why he should be married to her and his brother shouldn't, and made up all these excuses other than the number one reason why he should have never messed with her. Why? It's not his wife. It's his brother's wife. His brother's. This is messed up, ain't it? John just calls him on it. Verse 5. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, and the daughter of Herodias danced before him, and it pleased Herod. Who? His wife's daughter. I don't know if it's his biological daughter or his stepdaughter, but she's dancing before him. Do you see the cycle? He wants to get out of sin. He doesn't want to harm John the Baptist. He's wrestling with God. He's wrestling with to do the right thing, but he can't do the right thing because he keeps rolling back into the same sin. Some of y'all need to write this down. The problem you have with God is because you won't give up the thing that you continuously do and do and do because you won't take it to God and just confess it. You would rather do it and ask God forgiveness instead of having some obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice every single time. And the way you defeat sin is you call it out. Not in somebody else's life, but yours. Herod should have set up and said, I can't control myself around these women in my family. It sounds gross. It sounds gross. It sounds gross, but it looks even worse when you're doing it. Man, you don't go to jail and you don't look weird and the people don't call you if you say, I feel this way. You might lose some people, but you're not going to lose you. His daughter, his stepdaughter's dancing in front of him and he likes it. Just like he liked his wife when she was married to his brother. God, this is a weird story. Why didn't I see this before? Do you see the cycle, though? Do you see why he stays in trouble? Do you see why his family is a mess? His family is in a mess because he never changes the cycle, even though he's wrestling with God and knows the right thing to do. He just can't stop doing the thing that's going to cause the whole ball of wax to start up again. Man, he never wanted to put John the Baptist in prison. He never wanted that. But guess what? Because he did that, his wife was upset. And because his wife was upset, guess what? He had to do what she wanted to do because he's already made a mess of things. All right, you see it? There's some things you can have the best intentions and be all jacked up. It'd help if y'all say amen every once in a while. You know, because I have good intentions when I was in sin. I'm not going to do that. I can't hurt these people. But then I would let my sin override me, and the next thing you know, I've got to do something to counter that then, and it's not what I wanted to do. He didn't want to hurt. Man, he was scared of John the Baptist. He was scared of God, and he really had something working on him, like everybody in this crowd has had something like God working on you before you got saved. But you got to choose. It's a wrestling match, ain't it? And the devil, he's good at one thing, putting your sin in front of you and showing it to you in a way that makes you feel like you can't do without it. Herod kept just, I choose that. Y'all good? What's this? Go back to verse 3. And Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in the prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. His wife was so angry. She's got a bitter, bitter heart because John the Baptist came and told her and her husband the truth. This is unlawful. And you know what? She was angry. And she let everybody know it. Her husband had no control of the spiritual attitude and aptitude of his home because his wife was so bitter and so angry and so involved in the sin. Guess what? You better do something about this. Could you imagine coming home every day? Oh, I'm preaching. I can feel it. I can hear it. I can see it. Could you imagine him coming home every single day? He's the king at work. But he's got to take his crown off when he comes home. Amen. He sits on the throne and rules from on high and tells people what to do until he gets home because sin has taken over and bitterness has set in and she's angry and she wants something done and she better get it done. And he's like, yes, ma'am. Because sin will take things that are supposed to be in a certain order and mess them all up and rearrange what real biblical order is supposed to be like, and he'll mess it up and turn it upside down and make it look so weird and so wrong. Amen? And the man don't even know what he's doing, and the woman's so bitter, so just vile, man. You better put him in prison. I want him to die. He's like, I can't put him to death. This is a man of God. And I'm wrestling every day, but I don't want to keep going home. And I don't want to mess this up. But then, oh, look at my daughter. Man, got to pay the price. Got to pay the price. Because he's got this wife. Guess what? Check this out. It started with him. It moved down into the wife. And now who's it working on? The daughter. The daughter's involved. She's doing the things that probably learned from her mom. This is how I get a guy. This is how I get a man. And now, it's a weird thing because it's my stepdad or my dad, but I'm going to do my thing. Huh? But guess what has got into her life too? Bitterness, anger, frustration. I was gonna have y'all write something down before church in my mind how it runs so fast sometimes. I thought, man, I should have had them do that because I was going to have you write something like this. If you could have anything you wanted from the President of the United States, what would you ask for? Amen? Okay, let's say the King of England or whoever would be over you at the time, right? What would you have asked for? Money, name, castle, whatever, right? All you can eat hot dogs for a year. Endless tacos. You know what I mean. Start thinking something positive, right? Okay, good, good. That's what I was thinking too. Endless tacos. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him. Who has a birthday party and orders the dancer to be your stepdaughter at the least? Hey, sin doesn't have a problem being messed up. It doesn't have a problem being weird. And it's dysfunctional. Amen? I want y'all to get this because this gets crazy. Right? It gets crazy. Because why? Look, here's the other player. Whereupon he promised. Let's go back up. The daughter of Herodias danced before him, and it pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. Now, I love this in verse 7. Let's kind of pull this apart because it's got two different things that I like to look at when I'm looking at this verse. We'll put this on hold that he promised her everything. But you know what's cool about kings back then? And it kind of gives you an idea who God is. If a king put forth a promise to somebody, they had to keep it no matter what. Now listen, this is cool, because when the king made a declaration and said this will happen, it's odd. He could never change the declaration. He could only make another declaration. Is that cool? That's where we get our old command, our old covenant, and our new covenant. He did not end the old covenant. He just made a new covenant. Man, that's good, right? So when God promises you something, it's like a promise from a king. He can't take it back. Whew. You are saved by grace, not by works. Any man should boast. I kind of like that one. I like putting that in my pocket, in my hat, wherever I go, and I remind myself. Sometimes when I feel like I'm not where I need to be, I remind myself I wasn't saved by my work. I was not saved by who I am. I was saved by His grace. And I go a little bit further than that. I break it down even further. I break it down to grace. Grace is unmerited favor. That means you couldn't earn it if you wanted to. And matter of fact, if you break it down even further than that, if you found grace and unmerited favor, if you couldn't pay for it if you wanted to pay for it. You couldn't afford it. You couldn't afford your own salvation. You failed early in life. And you would fail now. And you'd fail all the time without grace. You know what it ultimately cost? The diadem, the royalty of heaven. The great, He bankrupted heaven for you and me. Oh, yeah. Golly, one day when we get to heaven, we'll get the full weight of that word right there. We'll get the full weight of it. Because when God stood up in heaven one day and said, there's only one way to do this. I've got to wrap myself in flesh. I, who created that down there, am going down there. And I'm going to make myself small and insignificant for a small and insignificant people. Have y'all ever seen that Louis Giglio video? Y'all need to watch it if you haven't. God, He shows where Earth is in our galaxy, and then pulls back a little bit, and then pulls back a little bit, and pulls back a little bit, and then you realize we are like a speck of dust, a vacuum cleaner. It's weird. If you don't think that, go check that out. Some Louis Giglio, just do that, and all of a sudden you'll realize how in the world. There's got to be something out there. There's something out there, right? It's called God. But one day God said, I'll go down there to my footstool. Golly. I'll go down there to my footstool. Just think, we got a footstool in our house. We don't ever use it. Amen? We don't. It's sitting in a room that it shouldn't even be in. I think my cat stays on it most of the time. It's the footstool. That's who we are. We're way over here. And God says, I'll go down to the footstool. I'll wrap myself in flesh. I will get inside the womb of a virgin. Then I will come out. And I will die on a cross, and I will purchase their sin debt that they can't afford. That they can't afford. And then I'll promise it to them. If they will believe in me and accept me as Lord and Savior, then I will be the Savior that they can't afford. And I'll freely give them salvation. Aren't y'all glad of that? Y'all good? Watch this right here. Look how crazy this is. Let's get back to Herodias' daughter. Whereupon He made a promise with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. Here she is. She's danced. She's done it. And guess what? You can have whatever you want, Herodias' daughter. What do you want? The king will give. He's at a point. He's done what He always does. He looks at her with lust and He wants her. And I'll give you whatever you want. Her mother comes out of it. Don't get mad at your kids so much, because a lot of times what's coming out of them is you. Amen? What's coming out of them is you. It hurts, don't it? Stings a little. Stung me a little bit too. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, give me here John the Baptist's head in a charger. You can have anything you want. I mean, you think about some of the insignificant stuff she could ask for. But what does she want? Give me revenge for my mom. Give me death. Give me that man's head on a platter. What? What are you talking about? Man, when I first read it, I said, what, are you kidding me? You can have whatever you want, but ain't that like us today? We will be bitter, and we will ask for revenge, and we'll ask for somebody to get paid back, but we won't ask for something to be useful, especially useful to God. Man, I read that. I'm like, man, how bitter does that house look like? Honey, if you ever get a chance, ask for death. Ask for revenge. Huh? Whispered in her ear before she went in there. If you go in there and do this right, I know how jacked up, messed up your stepdad is. I know how messed up your dad is. If you get him to go in the right way, I want you to ask for my revenge. Man, it makes me think better about how I'm talking around my kids and my wife. Amen? I'm serious. I'm telling you right now, they're like little satellite dishes back there. I mean, them things are on the side of their head, and they're like, they're running a mission. They're listening to everything you got. I love you. I love you. I love you too. I love you. Get in the car. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them. Like, ooh, ooh. Why don't they want to be in church? Because the people in church are bipolar. When they go in, they speak of love. When they come out, they speak of hate. And they act like we don't hear. Woo. They got our frustrations. And they're sitting back there just picking it all up. Well, we need to get revenge. Wouldn't that be something? She lived her whole life in that house. Her dad had a cycle of sin that he could have broken any time if he would have just said, you know what, John? I need that. I need that forgiveness. I need that baptism that you have. I want that. Instead of, I'm messing my whole world up. I can't even go home and be the man that I want to be because of my sin has wrecked my home. I'm a king on the outside, but I'm not a king on the inside. My wife is so bitter and so angry. Because the way we met and the way we got together, and I've never had been the leader that I needed to be. I should have went to her, and we should have reconciled this before God, even if it would have killed us both. And oh my God, my daughter, this is going to go down to another generation of people. This is going to go down to another generation. What have I put out there? I've got a girl who has given the opportunity to take anything she wants. She asked for revenge and bitterness and anger. She's a product of who we are. The only good actor in this whole thing is John the Baptist. Just obedient to the end. Just going, hey, sometimes this world makes you look like a failure when you're a Christian. It does. They'll talk about you like you're a failure. You'll talk about, you know, when I first started studying this message, you say, man, John the Baptist went out of this world awful on a low point. No, he didn't. I had to re-erase that. Just go back. No, he didn't. You know what? He went out of this world the day he said, Jesus, I believe you are the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the whole world. See, from that day forward, he said this, my life is nothing but a blank check, and whatever you want to do with it, you can do with it. And the day I draw my last breath, then I'll be in heaven. I might be the greatest that's ever been birth of a woman down here, but I'm the least in heaven. So when I get in heaven, I'll be one of the least up there, but it'll be better than anything down here. He was a winner, amen? But there's another encouraging word in this. It's not always how you start. It's how you finish as a Christian. And I'm looking around this room, and there is nobody that's dead. None. Finish well. Finish well. I said this the other day, and I mean it. Let the work that you're doing today be the greatest work you've done for God. Stop looking in the rearview mirror at some of the good stuff you've done and even some of the terrible stuff you've done. Start living your life today that when you finish this race, amen, you say like Paul, I've finished my race. I've finished my course. I've ran well. Here, I'll receive my reward. You run your race. Amen? There's some good actors in here and there's some bad ones. And the whole reason there's some bad ones in here is because guess what? There's a cycle of sin. But one man in this Bible, one man, stood up and said, that's wrong. I guarantee you Herod remembered that to the very last breath he took. You want to be, if you're a Christian and you're sitting in this audience right now, you want to be that person to somebody. Well, he didn't get saved. That's not a good story. That's not our job. That's not our position. Our position is to tell them when God places it on your heart and places you in the position to tell them. Amen? They'll be seeing you everywhere. They'll be seeing you everywhere. Even when you're not there, they'll be seeing you. There's Jesus. He's healing people. That's not Jesus. That's that John the Baptist. I know him anywhere. Same spirit. Different guy. Let's all stand as they come get a song of invitation. I don't know the crowd tonight. I don't know your heart. I don't know. But maybe there's somebody in this room that has a cycle of sin. You're continuously in a cycle. You want to do well. You have a plan to do well. But you keep rolling back into this cycle. Even if it's thoughts, even if it's actions, even if it's words. But you keep rolling back into this cycle that you want to break. Now listen, you can be as saved as you can be. But I'm just saying you got a cycle going on that maybe the devil has crept back in or sin has crept back in and you're having a cycle. This is where you break that cycle. This is how you do it. You come up here and you say, God, forgive me of my sins. Help me. This is where I'm weak. Maybe you've never been saved. I don't know you. I don't know everybody in this room. Maybe you've never been saved. You want to break the greatest cycle of sin in your life? That's salvation. That breaks all the cycles. Amen. Maybe you're a Christian here. Maybe you've got some people in your life that you know you've got to minister to. And you're like, man, this is going to be a tough place to minister. You come in here and you ask God for some strength. That's what Wednesday night prayer meeting is about. We come in here and get strengthened up and encouraged. And we go out and we tell the world about Jesus Christ. We tell him those hard truths sometimes. You've got to stand there and they'll know you'll love them because guess what? You would tell them the truth. You're different than they are. You're different than everybody else they work with. You're different than everybody else they hang out with at the Hardee's or anywhere else. And guess what? Eventually they'll say, how do you do this? What do you see is going on with my life? And then you can speak absolute truth into their life. They might hate you or they might love you, but they're still going to hear you. Amen? As they sing something. Our point.